sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore. Very deeply stained within, seeking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry. Soul's best song and faithful loving service to him belongs. For love lifted me, oh love lifted me, and when nothing else could help, completely saves. He will lift you by his love out of the angry waves. He's the master of the
no
sea
doubt.
And billows his will obey.
Billows his will
and
obey.
And he, your Savior, wants to be.
Well, I love that song, and we will come back to that a little later and hear a little more. Welcome to Open Bible Telecast, Open Bible Dialogue on Radio, and Open Bible Internet. It's a joy. You know, we have some of the greatest programs, and I love every one of them. I'm telling you, I don't think I've ever done a program that I didn't love, but sometimes I don't do as good of a job as others, and I apologize for that. But today, we got a great program. I mean, a great program, and I want you to enjoy it, and I want you to get in the middle of it. Now, let me give you the name. Let me give you the name. Listen to me. Your bank account, God's treasury. Your bank account, God's treasury. I want to talk about abundant living as it relates to paying your tithe and giving your offering, okay? Abundant living as it relates to paying your tithes and giving your offering. It is extremely important that you learn this biblical principle. If you do not learn this biblical principle, your life will be measurably impacted and measurably hindered from the fullness of a genuine and wonderful Christian life. You can have a life so rich in graces and so rich in God's mercy. Excuse me, it is really overwhelming. I've been a Christian over 66 years now. 1952, I was converted on a Tuesday night, the month of March, and he totally and utterly changed my life. And he so utterly changed my life that I've never forgot it. I have never forgot what happened to me when God changed my life and turned it wrong side right. Turned it wrong side right. Notice those words. And what a difference. I'm glad I'm a believer. I'm glad I've learned to live by this Bible. Now, your bank account is actually God's treasure. I mean, it is God who gave you and gives you everything you have. You have nothing of your own. You have nothing that you didn't receive from God. That's just life on this earth. If God don't give it to you, then you really don't have it. You say, I worked for it. I know, but God blessed you. God gave you the ability to work. God gave you the good job you got. God gave you the blessing of the salary you may be living by and working in and receiving on a weekly basis. I'm going to tell you, everything you have is actually God's treasure. Everything you possess, it's your home, it's everything. It's God's treasury. It's what God has given you. And now you're responsible for taking God's treasure and being careful with it and being sure of it and making sure it is rightly used and rightly made available to your family, to yourself, to your church, to your God. I mean, your bank account is God's treasury. Your possessions are all God's treasure. I want you to get this. If I can get this in your head, I will change your life measurably, and I will make your life a richer life. I really will. You'll thank me somewhere down the road if you get it and if you live by it. Now, first thing I want to do is I want to go to the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy, that's in the Old Testament, as you already know. Well, I hope you know. Some of you would, and maybe some wouldn't. But it's in the Old Testament, and it's really a treasure trip, a scripture. This is an overwhelming picture. I'm telling you, it's overwhelming. See, this is God talking. I have set before thee this day life and good and death and evil. See, the Lord said, God said, I have set before thee this day life, both life that is good and life that is evil. Life that you must decide in that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God and to walk in his ways and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments and that thou mayest live and multiply. And the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it. The Lord God will bless thee if I can set before you this day life for you to choose. Notice he said, this day life and good and death and evil. Life and good and death and evil. Your choice between life and good and death and evil. You either are living in death and dying while you're living, or you're living in the joy of the Lord and living while you're living. You either got abundant life or you got a life that is a rebuke even to yourself and to everybody who know you. And you have chose. You have chose which of those lives you want to live by. Are you hearing me? I hope you are. My heart pants for you to hear me. It really does. But if in thine heart thou turn away, if in thine heart thou turn away, so that thou wilt not hear, but shall be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them. Worship other gods. Anything you become a servant to is a god to you. It may be your flesh, it may be lust, it may be things, it may be houses and lands, it may be pleasures. There's a multiplicity of things that you can choose to go and possess that take you away from God. Now, what have you chose? Have you chose to follow God? Have you chose to follow man? Let me read on. I want you to hear this. This is so important. Listen, brother. I denounce unto you this day that you shall surely perish and that you shall not prolong your days upon the land, whether thou goest over Jordan to possess it. I call heaven and earth to record. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Therein choose life, that both thee, thou, and thy seed shall live. What a scripture. Now, he says, I denounce to you, I've set it before you, and it's your choice. You are choosing how to live your life. And you say, I don't want nobody choosing for me. That's your choice. That's what you say. You're saying, I don't want God choosing for me. I will choose for myself. And he says, because of it, you're choosing death and not life. You're choosing cursing and not blessing. You're choosing all kinds of troubles instead of the glories that God would give you. I call heaven and earth to record. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I've set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Therefore, choose life and therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed shall live, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice. Listen to this. And that thou mayest cleave unto him, for he is thy life, and he is thy length of days. That thou mayest dwell in the land where the Lord thy God sware unto thee, to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, and to give all of us. Oh, you say that's to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. Well, you go in that New Testament, and he says, you have Abraham's promises because of Jesus Christ, the Son that came from the seed of Abraham. So every Abrahamic promise is mine. I'm not kidding you. Every Abrahamic promise is yours, and I'll show you that in a moment. No question about it. And so here we have sitting in front of us, life or death. Everybody listening to me, you are going to choose. You have no choice. You are going to choose. You said, no, I'm just going to do my thing. I'm not making no choice. When you do your thing, you just made your choice. You made your choice, not by what you say with your mouth, but what you do and act with your life. That's how you make the choice. And you're choosing today. There's some of you, you're choosing death. And you'll not live a long life. The Bible makes that plain. Most every wicked person lives a shorter life. You say, I know somebody that didn't. Well, there's a few. I don't know why. God knows. And we won't question God because he's smart enough to do what's right. But I'm here to tell you that, 66 years, I've seen a lot of it. And I know enough to know that I would not choose anything but life. I'm sitting here, an 82-year-old man, and I'm healthy. If there's anything wrong with me, besides my eyes and my ears are getting older and showing their years of use, but they're getting better. I'm believing God for them. And I'm here to tell you that it's wonderful to see people live pure and clean and keep their hands right and keep their life right and keep their thinking right and keep their talking right and keep the things they go and the things they do and everything about them right. It's a wonderful life. And so I'm calling you to record this day that God has an absolute picture of how you're conducting it, whether you're obeying him or disobeying him, and you must understand the consequence is yours to pay. The consequence is yours to pay. Now, have you chose life? I want to ask a question to my entire audience. Have you chose life? Have you chose the path of God's commandments? Have you chose the path of obedience? Have you chose the path of Jesus Christ? Have you laid your life on the line to live for him? Now, we're going to go further. I want to talk today about the treasures that God has given you and what you are doing with them. Everything you have is a treasure from God. Everything in your bank account, everything in your savings, everything in your possessions, everything in your house where you're living, everything you carry in your billfold, everything is a part of the treasure that God has given you. Now, are you committed to God to take that treasure and to treat it as you should and as you ought, as a treasure from God? Now, I want to tell you that God requires of every one of us that the treasures he's given us, we give him a tenth part back. One-tenth of everything God gives you in your treasures is your payment back to Him, your blessing back to Him, is what God requires of you from your treasures. You're only giving back to God, a 10% of the treasure that He's given you the 100% of. What a picture. I mean, what a beautiful thing. You're giving back to God a tithe of the treasure that God has given you. And in doing so, you're causing Him to look upon the 90% left over and promise to take it and to bless it and to multiply it and to increase it and to make it bountiful for you. For you. I'm not kidding. For you. I mean, I know by experience. I'll never forget the day working in Western Electric in Burlington, North Carolina. I was behind on my car payment. I was just a young kid. I mean, I guess I was 17. No, I had to be 18 to get a job there. So I was 18. I got married at 19. So it was somewhere before I got married. And I got a call from the bank that my payment on my car was late. I mean, I was about to lose my car because somehow in my carelessness, I had not paid the payment on my car. And I'm standing there at the phone in the back of the Quonset hut where I worked in the raw material department, gathering raw material for the mechanics inside. And I'm back there and I'm trying to figure out, and it comes to my mind, I haven't been paying my tithes. I haven't earned. Here I am working at Western Electric. I've got a good job. I'm making good money. And I haven't been paying my tithes. That's my problem. I commit, God. I mean, I made a commitment in the back of that Quonset hut to give God my tithing from that day forward. And I'm telling you, if I've ever failed that commitment, I go far beyond it. I mean, far, far, far beyond it. And I'm telling you that God from that day has helped me. God from that day has helped me. We just finished paying for this $4 million campus that we built about 20 years ago. Thank God it's paid for. The payments were $3,800 a month for 18 plus years. I mean, that's a long time to make a $4,000 payment. That wasn't all of it. I mean, we have nearly $100,000 left over when we got it all paid above the loan, and that was in a special account. Had to get it paid off. I mean, it's been a joy. It's been a joy. At the same time, I had to hock my house, which I'd built myself, making it worth three or four times more than the actual cost. And that was hocked with it. Well, finally, that's no longer hocked. I'll have my title here in a few days. I'm telling you that God will take care of you if you will learn to give Him the 10%. It's His treasure to start with. Every bit of it was given to you by God. You didn't. You say, I worked hard for it. I know that. And God gave you the strength to work hard. And God kept you healthy to work hard. And God gave you an economy to live in that's better than most of the world. And so you got a lot to be grateful for, my friend. But everything you possess is God's treasure. I want you to understand that. And God expects and requires of you a 10% of that treasure. And then He promises when you give Him the 10%, He multiplies the 90%. He multiplies it. Oh, what a picture that is to think about. Now, I want us to go, there's so much to talk about today, and it's a wonderful life to talk about. It's a wonderful pleasure. I absolutely love it, and I want you to get ready on the phones because I want a multiplicity of calls. I want you to call me and let me help you understand what I'm teaching. I want you to let me help you. I want to answer questions. I want to deny the naysayers. There's a lot of naysayers out there. There's a lot of people criticize everything God says do. They just don't like keeping commandments is their problem. They just don't understand everything they have is God's. It's His treasure. They just are put in possession of it. Everything you have, God put you in possession of it. You have the right. You don't have to give it to Him. He don't make you. Eventually He does, because it'll go. He'll get His share eventually. It may go to a doctor. It may go to a hospital. It may go to a car wreck. I don't know what it might go to. And you can have some of those problems and pay tithes. And so don't think that paying tithes makes you a cool dude who can get by with anything. I'm not saying that to you, but I do want to give you God's commandment. Will a man rob God? Can you hear that? Will a man rob God? Now, that's not my words. They're written by the Holy Ghost in the book of Malachi, chapter 3. Malachi, the last book of the Old Testament, chapter 3, verse 8. Okay? Will a man rob God? You say, Brother Chambers, are you accusing me of being a thief? If you don't pay your tithes, you are a thief. And I don't stutter when I say that. If you don't pay your tithes, you are a thief. Now, you may not realize it, and it may be unconscious, and it may be something that if you would have known, you would already have changed, but now you know it. Now you know it. And starting today, if you're out there and you will not pay your tithe, I'm telling you, God asked you. God said it. Joe Chambers didn't. Don't accuse me of nothing now. Will a man rob God? Will a man rob God? And listen, yet ye have robbed me. Now, I want to stop right here. How many people have you heard curse the Jews because they're so blessed? How many people have heard you raise Cain about the multimillionaire bankers, multimillionaire businessmen, the multimillionaire Jewish people all over the world? You can put them in the ghetto of Germany and they will prosper. You can put them in the dark jungles of Africa and they will prosper. You can put them anywhere you want to put them. I don't care where it is. They'll do something enthusiastically, and before you know it, they're making money and they're living better than people around them and being cursed for it. And I'm here to tell you, they were given this commandment. And you talk to Jewish people, and I never talked to one that told me they didn't pay tithes, because they know paying tithes is absolutely their requirement. And they know they can't get by without it. And they're blessed. They are blessed. I said, and you will be. I'm telling you, you will be. Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed you? Are they? Now notice, he answers the question, his own words, not mine, in tithes and offering. In tithes and offering. That's in the Bible now. Are you reading Malachi chapter 3 and verse 8? Are you reading it? Wherein have you robbed me? God asked the question. And he said, in tithe and offering. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Israel was going through a time of rebellion. Israel was rebelling against God. Israel wasn't giving God what was his, and they were being cursed for it, and they were getting in trouble, and their cities were being destroyed, and their harvest fields was being destroyed, and their vineyards wasn't bringing forth fruit, and they're mad, and they're worrying about it, and God's answering them and said, you're cursed with a curse, for you've robbed me. Now listen, you're cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithe into the storehouse. Bring ye, now I'm reading directly from the Holy Ghost, okay? Directly from the Holy Ghost. Not Joe Chambers, but directly from the Holy Ghost. Bring ye all the tithe into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me, listen, prove me herewith. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts. If I will not open for you the wonders of heaven and pour you out a blessing thereby, that you may receive it. I will open for you the wonders of heaven. Ooh! Hey, how big do you think a wonder in heaven is? Stretch your hand across the heavens, the multiplicity of miles, the multiplicity of distance, and a window in heaven would be some kind of an opening. I'm telling you right now, and I will pour you out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it. You won't even be able to handle the blessing I'm going to give you. I will pour it out upon you because you've given to me the tithe and the offering. I'm here to tell you, friend, this is proven so many times over that this congregation at Paul Creek is some of the givenest people. We don't have a big congregation. We used to have. We left the denomination, and many left us for that reason. Others got mad at me because I stick with the truth and will not vary right straight from the Bible. And we don't have a big congregation, but oh, how they give and how they bless and what a blessing they are. You know what I've had this morning? My little sweetheart's been gone now 9 months and 6 days. 9 months and 6 days. And a group of the ladies met at my house this morning. As they came, I left it to them, and they cleaned my house for me. Can you imagine? They cleaned my. I ain't been there to check it out yet, but I'm kind of thrilled about it. I know that they would not have done anything less than a good job. Well, God just blesses His people. God just bless. If you're not blessed, I want you to be. I'm not happy that you're not blessed. I'm not happy that you're struggling with everything you don't have. I'm not happy that you're having a tough time with your life. I'm not happy that your job's not going good and your body's not in good condition and you're having all kinds of difficulties. But I'm here to tell you, you turn to God with all your heart and your mind and your soul, and He'll make every struggle a joy. He'll make every tough place a blessing place, and He'll just do wonderful things for you. There is no ifs and there is no ands. Hallelujah. He is just, I got to read on. Bring you all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. Mine house. This is a house of God. You don't send your tithes to a radio preacher. You don't send your tithes to a television preacher. You pay your tithes in the house of God. In the house of God, to the house of God. Well, don't you have people paying their tithes to you? I sure do. We have people in many states that pay their tithes here, but this is their church. This is where they get their food. They hear those sermons every Sunday. They hear these radio programs. They get material in the mail. They got all kinds of things coming to them. And because they don't have a church where they are, they make this their church. And we're not asking you to leave your church. And say, if you're getting fed at your church and you got a good Holy Ghost filled church that preaches the Bible, the truths of God, you pay your tithes right there. Well, you're supposed to. But if you don't have that, don't you put your tithes in some backslid church. Don't you put your tithes in some place where the preacher doesn't know how to preach the Word of God. And don't put your tithes in a place that you can't even stand their music, that their music is annoying to you. Don't you put your tithes there. You put it where you get fed. And you pay your tithes. I'm telling you, you don't have a choice whether you pay them or not. You do have a choice of where you're going to pay them. And I don't want you to put them in a backslid church. And I don't want you to send your tithes to me when you got a good pastor and a good church either. I mean, there's a balance, and that's the balance. The balance is truth. The balance is the Word of God. I got to read on. Bring your tithes into the storehouse and prove me there herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. Rebuke the devourer for your sake. And he shall not destroy the fruit of your grounds, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed. And all nations. Look at America. America probably has more tithers than all the rest of the nations of the world together. I guarantee you that. I guarantee you America has more tithers than all the rest of the nations of the world put together. I wouldn't doubt it. I'm telling you, America has a lot of good tithers, faithful people who love to give for God. The RIS, led by some evil people, would like to probably rob you of that and stop you and take it away as a discount. Isn't it something that in our nation we can pay our tithes and get a discount off of our taxes because of it? Oh, isn't that something grand? That's because America was born out of biblical principles. I know they're under attack, and thank God for President Donald Trump, who's trying to restore as many of them as he knows about and as he can understand, and he's doing a good job of it. And if you don't like it, it's tough for you, my friend. It's because you don't believe this Bible, probably. I have to be careful with my words in these times. All right, and all nations shall call you blessed, for you shall be a delightsome land. Notice that. A delightsome land. We have a delightsome church here. I mean, we got some of the most wonderful people. I mean, they are grand. And when somebody gets saved, we immediately teach them about tithing. We teach them of the blessing that will come to them. We require it of nobody. We would never turn someone out of a church because they didn't pay their tithes. But we would try to teach them, and we would try to help them. We don't want you here for your money. We want you here for your soul. We want you here because you need to have the fruit of the word preached to you and get the book in your heart. Hey, you know what I'm preaching tomorrow? I want to tell you what I'm preaching. I'm preaching tomorrow on standing on the word. Standing on the word of God. Standing on the Bible. Isn't that a subject? Standing on the word. That's my subject tomorrow. And I am really excited about it. I really am. Our youth minister, Dylan Beatty, is preaching tomorrow night. And then next Sunday night, our camp meeting evangelist starts. Jeff Mayo. What a preacher man. And he'll be preaching Sunday night, Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. And then J.J. White will come in here and preach on Sunday week. Now, this is 2 weeks away. The camp meeting begins 1 week away from tomorrow night. From tomorrow morning. I'm sorry. I'll be preaching the morning one next week. But you just don't want to miss camp meeting. 1 week away now from Sunday night, tomorrow night, begins camp meeting 1 week away. And then you know the Bible study. Going to really be something. Tuesday, we're studying about the rapture. Wednesday, about the Armageddon. Wednesday, about the battle of the 7 year tribulation. Thursday, about Armageddon. And Friday, the 1,000 year millennial reign. Now, we are really getting ready for something grand. And my people are so hard workers. Oh, great day. Am I grateful to God. Now, you've heard such good stuff here. Let me open the lines. I want some telephone calls. If you don't understand tithing, call me and ask, okay? Let me talk with you. If you don't agree with it, you won't hurt my feelings to tell me you don't, but I can give you why I'm right. And I can give you so much why I'm right that there really is no question. It really isn't. God's Bible is a perfect Bible. This is not two Bibles. This is one Bible. Do you understand? There is no such thing as two Bibles. Somebody says you got an Old Testament and a New. You got an Old Covenant and a New. That's what Testament means. An Old Covenant and a New Testament covenant. And they are part of each other. The first and the second. And they, there's differences, and the differences God takes care of, and He's altered and made a beautiful picture out of it. Now, you got to understand what I'm saying. You can't destroy the Word of God. And let me go to here, the book of Matthew, and the words of the Lord Jesus. The words of the Lord Jesus. He really cleared up this matter in a beautiful way about the Old Testament and how pure and perfect it was. Listen to what he said. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass away, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle. You got those words, one jot. That's the like the dot of a T. One tittle like the dot of an I, the cross of a T. One jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law, shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Jesus said that in the book of Matthew, chapter 5 and verse 18. The book of Matthew, chapter 5, verse 18. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth shall pass away, not one jot or one tittle, not even a little dot of an I or a cross of a T, shall pass away till all be fulfilled. Isn't that outstanding? Doesn't that thrill your heart? I mean, that's what Jesus said. So, and he said the law. Notice he said the law, L-A-W. We know what he's talking about. He's talking about this Bible, this Old Testament truth. Now, we know the covenant of sacrifices passed away with Christ. He fulfilled them, and the Bible says that. He finished them. And we know there are many things within the keeping of the Old Testament law that are now different, and they are in the Bible, and we're told, and nothing is left unsaid, and nothing is left unfinished. I mean, the Old Testament, you couldn't eat pig meat. In the New Testament, you can eat any kind of meat you want to eat if it's sanctified by the Word of God and prayer. The one thing you wouldn't want to eat is something offered to idols. And if you know it's offered to idols, then you don't eat it, see? And that the Bible's very clear in those kind of things. Now, grab your phone. I'm waiting for your questions. While I'm waiting, let me scream out something. Happy Father's Day. Happy Father's Day. Wonderful fathers. There are so many great fathers. There are so many dedicated men that love their families, that love their wives, that love their children, and that do good things for them and things to them. And so many have lived by this so that God could bless not only them, but their seed after them. Isn't that wonderful? I mean, that's just the kind of God we serve. You understand that? That's the kind of God we serve. Now, I want your calls. I have a free booklet for you, and someone is standing by to take your name and address. It's beautiful. Your bank account is God's treasure. You can't read this and not believe what I'm teaching you. That I can honestly say that. You can't read this and not believe what I'm trying to help you with. It'll bless you. It'll open up your life. You'll understand how God has brought the treasure gifts right down through the Old Testament and into the New Testament. And now I don't live by Abraham. I live by Jesus, who came to finish and fulfill all that Abraham began. And the same great faith of Abraham I now can get through Jesus Christ, the Son of God. It's just a great Bible, and it's a great life. And now I want you to ask your question. Don't just sit there. Everywhere I'm here, I'm being heard. I want you to grab your phone. You're listening by internet. You call me at 1-800-338-7884. I'll put up the numbers for a moment here so you can have them. 704-391-0588 anywhere in America and Canada. 1-800-338-7884. And I want questions one after the other. Now, I'm not going to let you sit by and not get them to me. Get on your phone and get me good questions. The ladies will answer the phone. They'll take your name and address if you want this gift. I want you really to have this. I want to turn around some of your lives that are so empty. I want to turn around some of you who are living in such dark conditions. You say, Brother Chambers, I live in a country that the wealth is just not there, and I just barely have enough to live, and you want me to pay my tithes off of it? Yes. Because I know what multiplication of your 90% means. I know exactly the results. I can tell you without a question, you'll never pay your tithe that you don't see the blessing of God. Now, if you start tithing, and I would ask you 6 months down the road, have you been blessed? You may say, I don't see no difference. But if I would wait and ask you a year down the road, I guarantee you it will not be long until you will say, boy, am I blessed. You on the air. May I help you, please?
Yes. Last night I was just telling the Lord, I was just thankful that I was just able to do that, to pay tithes, to give. It's something that I believe he said we become new creatures when we're born again. It's something I believe that comes natural, and common sense even. It's natural. It's not only biblical, it's natural, it's common sense. To know that if you're part of a church, that the church has to go on. It has bills to pay. It has lights. It has carpet. We have air conditioning now. It's wonderful.
Yeah.
Such a blessing. So it's common sense. Even if it was, let's just say it wasn't a commandment, it's still common sense, and it's natural as a child of God to want to give back to the Lord.
And that's beautiful, brother. That's just beautiful. And I believe that. It's a joy to do it. And you look at people see our church and see a picture of it. And I'm telling you, why wouldn't they want to help if they were part of it and they're getting the gospel like we preach and the kind of wonderful moves of the Holy Spirit we have? Last Sunday night, brother, was such a blessing with people praising God. I love it.
Yeah, and let me tell you something else. Last Saturday, I was working at the church, and I went to lunch, and my radiator busted in my van. Now, I could have got mad at God. I could have blamed the devil, but I thank God for it. I praise God for it happening, because in a couple of weeks, I'm going to be traveling. And see, that could have happened while I was on the road, and God made it. Worked it out where it didn't cost me but $150.
for a radiator?
For a radiator, and that's installing it and everything. On a Honda. Brand new radiator, brand new.
That sounds like $600 or $700 normally.
Well, if I'd have got caught on the highway, I'd have had to pay for a tow bill, I'd have had to pay a mechanic probably double.
Yep.
And you know, so you got to look at the good things and let God just take care of them. He don't owe us anything. We owe him everything.
Thank you, my brother.
Thank you.
God bless your heart. Now, isn't that beautiful? Don't you love a testimony like that? I know this man. I know this man, and I know what God has done in his life. Turned him upside down, wrong side, right. Changed everything. Listen, God is good to us, folks. God is good to us, folks. If you don't thank God for his blessing, now, I want some more testimonies. I want to hear what you are saying. How many of you can thank God that you learned long ago to be a tither and that you learned that God does bless us? You know, I don't just believe in tithing. I believe in giving. My wife and I have given. We built two churches here in Charlotte. The one on Little Rock Road, you know the story. How the Church of God took it from us. They've now sold it to a Christian school. The Christian school has sold it to the state, and they're turning it into a public school. They literally are. They're having to take down the cross and take down the steeple. They're having to turn it into a secular building. And I probably paid close to half myself for building and just got in there, gave my salary, gave any kind of for savings we had. My wife and I never held back nothing. And we worked. I mean, we built it. We did the work. I was the architect. I was the architect. What do you do? The man who draws it. I was the ditch digger. I mean, I just loved it. I love God's work, and he blesses. Listen, friend, God blesses. And if you're not blessed, he wants to bless you. I promise you that. Now call, please, quickly. Got lines open. Lines open. I want every line busy. 704-391-0588. You call and just bless God for the privilege of being a tither. If you don't do anything else. And thank God he taught you the right way. And if you don't believe in tithing, call and let me help you. Let me show you what it can mean to your life, how it can turn your life around. 704-391-0588. Please call quickly now. I want questions. I want you involved. That's what I love. I love people listening to me anywhere in the world. I love you involved. We have people listening in Australia. In South Africa, I wish you could call you, and you can. I don't know how to tell you from any of those countries. Certain codes get out of different countries, and I don't know them things. And I wouldn't be able to tell it to everybody if I knew them. It would be impossible. But I'm here to tell you, you are a blessed person, and you have every reason to bless God. And I want you to come and let me preach to you in the morning, standing on the Word. Standing on the Word. When you get in trouble, stand on the Word. Don't try to solve it yourself. Find what the Bible has to say and stand on it. I mean, everything about your life, turn it over to God. Turn it over to God. Now, I got much to read to you, and I'll go on because I don't want to miss nothing. I want you to call now. I'm ready for you to interrupt me and tell me something you want to say about this wonderful subject. And bless God for your giving. The lines are all open. They are. I don't know why we don't have as many calls as we used to. Are people not interested in the Bible anymore? Are people not excited when they hear what the Scripture says? Are people not excited to learn more about the Bible and how you can live a clean and blessed and wonderful life? Do you want to know that? It is so wonderful. It really is. 704-391-0588. And while you're calling, I'm going to turn to Galatians 3 and 28. Galatians 3 and 28. A lot of people argue over the difference between the Old and the New Testament. And they don't realize that we're told over and over in our New Testament that all the teachings of the Old Testament were examples for us. The Old Testament is told to us as an example of God's dealings with men and the blessings that God brings upon them. Galatians 3, that's Ephesians. I'm trying to get to Galatians here. I want you to hear what the Word of God says. Galatians 3 and verse 28. Galatians 3 and verse 28. Now listen, there is neither Jew nor Gentile, nor Greek, Gentile. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For we are all one in Christ Jesus. Does that say it good? Neither Jew or Gentile. Neither male nor female. Neither bond nor free. We all are one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed. Now this is in the New Testament. This is in the New Testament. Oh, no, I don't believe in paying tithes. Well, Abraham paid tithes, and he was 400 years before God gave it to Moses in the law. 400 years, and he paid tithes. Paid tithes. That's what the Bible says. No doubt about it. And if you be Christ, if you are Christ, if you're born again, if you belong to Jesus, if you've been washed in the blood, ye are Abraham's seed. You're Abraham's seed and heirs. Heirs, H-E-I-R-S, that means you have inherited everything that is in Abraham's promises. You have inherited everything that's in the Old Testament doctrines and the teachings of the Old and the New Testament. And the two are one book for you to live by and to walk in. You must rightly divide them. You must rightly understand them. You must not try to superimpose one on top of the other. You keep them open. You keep them beautifully taught. And then you live by them and you will be blessed. There is not an ounce that nobody can change it. God cannot and will not fail to keep his promise. God will not and cannot and does not fail to keep his promise. You can live in these blessings of God or you can refuse them and choose death. You can choose death. You can choose life. You can choose death. You can choose life. You can choose death. It's your choice. What do you choose? Do you choose life and liberty or death and destruction? What do you choose? I mean, right now you're making a choice. Oh, I'm mad at you, Chambers. You're always trying to come down. You think you know everything. No, I don't. No, I don't. I just believe the Bible. I just give you the Bible. And I don't quiver when I give you the Bible. I don't sit here I don't mumble when I'm giving you the Bible. I'll tell it to you like it is. I'll say it as plain as I know how to say it. And you can't, I mean, the Bible is not a book that can be twisted around. It is as plain as the nose on your face. You get a pill, get a hold of your nose. Is it up there? Can you tell how it feels? Can you tell how it looks? You may have an ugly one. You may have a big old fat nose. You may have a little nose. It may look skinny. I don't know what your nose looks like, but it's your nose. And claim it. Now, that's how the Bible is. It's your Bible. Claim it. Stand on it. Don't twist around. Don't try to make it what you want it to be. Let it be what God has made it to be. It's a beautiful book, and it's wonderful. And if you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed? Hey, I don't want to pay my tithes. Well, he says you're Abraham's seed. Abraham's seed sure did have to pay him. Oh, yes. Now, let me give you something else. This is powerful. Oh, this will take your breath. Hey, some of you better cut this off. You better not listen to this because it's going to get you right where you're sitting, okay? Let me read it to you. It's God's word, and I really do love it. I really do love it. Listen now. I'm trying to find the right one. For I say unto you, now this is God talking to Abraham. For I say unto you that Except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. Now, that really is so final. except your righteousness. Anybody know how the Pharisees and scribes lived? They kept the law, but they didn't have the experience. And they were lost because they kept the law and bragged about it, but refused the Christ who would save them by his blood. But now Jesus comes along and finds that he's talking to that same crowd, and he's talking to all the New Testament believers. This is a New Testament book, you understand. Except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, ye shall in no wise enter into the kingdom of heaven. Not the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. He's putting the kingdom of God at your footstep, at your footprints, before your door, and saying, if your righteousness don't exceed theirs, you shall in no wise enter in. I mean, they paid tithes of everything. I mean, they went out in the field and gathered mint. They came back and paid 10% tithes. If they went down to the vineyard and gathered the grapes, they came back and took 10% of the grapes to the house of God. I mean, everything. I remember when I first got saved, people, a lot of them was farmers. They'd pay tithes on their farms. They'd pay tithes on their pigs in the pig pen. They'd pay tithes on the cow that they beefed and took and had it all beefed up. I got a man who pays tithes on his deer. The deer that he kills, he pays tithes on them. And when he brings me the tithes, he don't bring me the hoofs. He brings me the very prime part. He brings me that prime rib that goes down the backside of that deer. Every time he kills a deer, he brings me that prime piece. You say, Brother Chambers, are you kidding? No, he's a tither. He's one of the best tithers a man ever had. I'm telling you, he don't pay tithes. He probably pays 30% altogether. I'm talking about blessings. I'm talking about God wants to bless you and make you a blessing. And in Abraham, I'm here to tell you, I am covered with blessings. In Abraham, I am covered in blessings. It is wonderful. Oh, it is wonderful. Now, I know that there's many out there. You're sitting there mumbling at me. You're arguing at me, but you don't have the courage to call me up and let me talk to you and tell you how wrong you are and help you. Come on, pick up your phone and let me tell you how wrong you are and help you get on the straight and narrow. If you don't live a life in obedience to God's commands, I'm sorry, my dear friend. Did you know that if you do not keep the Ten Commandments, God says you are a liar? And the truth is not in you. To say you love God and you do not keep the Ten Commandments. Let me take you to that. You might not believe me if I don't take you there. I'm telling you, this Bible is a rich book, friend. This Bible will keep you straight and it'll keep you on the straight and narrow. I hope I can find that. It's in 1 John, if I can find it. Hallelujah. I hope I can find it. I guarantee you I won't. It's in 1 John. I've read it so many times. If you say you love me and do not keep my commandments, you are a liar and the truth is not in you. Now, do you know the Ten Commandments? Do you know one of them is remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy? What does the word Sabbath mean? It's not talking about Saturday. It's talking about the seventh. The seventh day of seven. And to the Christian, it is Sunday, the first day of the week. The Bible actually says, bring by you in store on the first day of the week as God has blessed you. I mean, the New Testament tells you to take care of your tithing and giving on the first day of the week. That's the Lord's Day. That's Sunday. Did you know that? That's Sunday. Oh, we are a blessed people. And the Bible is so plain. It really is. It doesn't quiver. It really says it like it is. Now, I got about 12 minutes here, maybe 11, and I really want to answer some Bible questions. I can read. I can give you so much. I mean, the Bible is wonderful. It is just full. It really is. And if you don't keep God's commandments, you are a liar, and the truth is not in you. Are you calling me a liar? No. The Bible's calling you one. If you say you love God and you don't keep His commandments. Now, if you don't keep the Sabbath day holy, I'm calling on you right now to stay out of those shopping centers on your Sunday. Stay out of the restaurants. How many churches do you know that they let out a little bit early so that they can get to the restaurant before the church down the road can get their people out and get them to the restaurants? I've heard of some of those struggles. Oh, that would be something else. I wouldn't be part part of that for love of money. I'm telling you, keep God's commandments. Hey, the Bible says, honor thy father and thy mother. Tomorrow is Father's Day. Don't you let tomorrow go and you not honor your father. You say he's a dog. Well, you honor him and let God take care of his dog nature, okay? You honor him and let God fill him with the need of repentance. You honor your father. You honor your father. I wouldn't let them, if my, you know what? My dad committed suicide when I was 17 years of age. My dad was an alcoholic. He was a good man. He was a hard worker, but he had got hooked on alcohol, and he would he'd be okay for weeks and weeks and even months, and then he'd take a few drinks, and it would hook him, and he was just incapable of doing anything. He'd have to go to an institute back then called Kelly Institute. Kelly, I believe, was the name of it. I remember him having to go. He'd be gone for a week, 2 weeks, 10 days, and they'd somehow purify him and get him off of it. He'd come back, precious old dad. I miss him until today. He committed suicide when he was 47. I was 17, and I this very morning, thinking about Father's Day, I sat here and wept over my father, and it's been 65 years. I mean, that's a long time. That's a long time. He'd be 120-something if he was living. And I would love it if he was. And I'll tell you one thing. You treat your dad right, or you'll answer to God. I promise you that. And don't you claim to be a Christian and treat your dad like a dog. You say, I don't like him. Well, you have a problem that you don't like him. He may be a sorry old rascal. I'll never forget. Oh, this is a good one. I'm glad I remembered it. It was a little town, and there was two men in that town who had dads that they both had loved, and they were friends, always friends. One of them was the preacher's son, and one of them was the son of a drunk, a son of an alcoholic that lived in the town. And these two boys went to school together, the preacher's son and the alcoholic son. And they went to school together. They had many different experiences together. Down the road, one day they got together, and the preacher's son was a big old drunk himself. He turned against God and was living in sin. And the drunk son had got so sick of his dad, he turned against alcohol, had got saved, and was living a Christian life. The preacher's son said to the old drunk son, said, what in the world happened? Your dad was a drunk and you are a preacher. My dad was a preacher and I'm a drunk. And the old drunk said, you know what I think happened? I think we both got sick and tired of our dads. I think we both got sick and tired of our dads and how they acted and how unreal they were. Well, pretty good story, because in some cases that can be the truth. But you, regardless, you do what's right. You live what's right. You act what's right. And you will be the one that gets dividends. Now, I want to kind of bring this to, I got time for calls, and grab your phone. If you want this booklet, I want you to have it. I really don't want anybody not to have it. It amazes me. I want to give this to you. And I know we mail about 5,000 of these P&As every month. Every month. And a lot of people that listen to me probably already get them. And that's probably why you don't call for them. But many of you listening to me don't get them. And I would love for you to have it. It says your bank account is God's treasure. I would love for you to read this and dig into it. Take your Bible and read it with the Bible, you know, side by side. And if you find anything that's not thoroughly biblical, you call me and straighten me out, okay? Because I really want to be biblical to the nth degree, and I think you're going to find it biblical. I want to be a blessed. I want your life to be worthwhile. I want you to be one of those blessed people. I want you to be such a blessing that the people around you will, man, isn't he delightful? Oh, isn't that a good man? Isn't that a wonderful person? I mean, that's what I want. That's what I yearn for. I yearn from every one of you to be blessed and to have a blessed life and to enjoy your life. And I'm telling you that the Christian life is the only life worth living. You got to hear me when I tell you that this world is not a happy place. It's not a blessed place. And there's so many difficulties going on. And I want you, with everything in me, to have a life that's worth living. I want you to be blessed. And I'm here to tell you, you can't be blessed if you break God's laws and you break God's commandments and you don't understand God's principles. And I want you to get them today and get them anchored in your heart. and to get them blessing you and to tell them to others and to share them with everybody. You call. This will be put in a booklet form before it's mailed to you. And you say, I want two copies, one for my pastor and one for me, one for my neighbor and one for me. And we'll send them to you. And we'll help you help others. We'll help you bless others and make it all a blessing for the kingdom and for the glory of the Lord God. And whatever part of the world you live in, let us be a blessing to you. You got the internet, internet, www.paulcreek.org, PAWCREEK.org. This sermon will be, this radio program will be there in a little in a little bit. This booklet is already there and it will be sent up on the internet in about maybe 45 minutes. And it'll be on Facebook 24/7. And you can be a blessing and you can bless others. And that's what I want for you, is to bless others. And I want your life to be wonderful. I want you to be a blessing in your church. I want you to bless your pastor. And help him to draw close to God. Get in that altar at your church and pray down a Holy Ghost revival. I want to tell you, one person who would go to your church altar and would get in there 2 or 3 hours a day, week after week after week, you can pray down a revival on that church and shake that church to its foundation. We're doing that right now. We're going to have a camp meeting. I'm telling you, I don't have any doubt about it, beginning 1 week from tomorrow night. We're going to have a camp meeting like we have never had. I'm believing that with all my heart. I'm on my face praying. I'm believing for miracles. I'm believing God to reveal himself to this generation. I'm crying out for that. I really am. Now, it's just a joy to bless you. It's a joy to help you. It's a joy to get you in the Word. It's a joy to help you learn the Bible and to live by it. Now, while we're coming down to the end here, you can still call. Ladies are still there. I'm still right here. Listen to me carefully. I want to take you to Psalms Division 1, one of the greatest psalms in the Bible. I love this. I really do. I read it many times. I quote it in the night. I love to quote the Psalms in the night. They are blessed. They're blessed when you wake up. Blessed, blessed, listen, blessed. Do you know what the word blessed means? Well off. It means fortunate. It means one to be envied. A person of great, a great blessing. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Woo! That is a powerful verse. Let me read it again. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But listen, verse 2. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. In the law of the Lord. He delights in God's commandments. He delights in God's laws. He delights in living by the Bible. He delights in living by the Scripture. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in the law doth he meditate day and night. In the law doth he meditate day and night. I'm telling you, living by the laws of God, the commandments of God is wonderful. I remember years ago when our church, we was in the church on Little Rock. And I always have visited ever since I've been a pastor. And a little period of time when we moved up here, I didn't. And I've repented of that. But I was knocking on doors all around the old church, back in there behind Paul Creek and back in there toward Toddville. And I was asking the question of all the old people. Do you remember? You were Presbyterian, or you were Methodist, or you were Baptist. You remember when your church would not, I mean, they preached plainly, keep the Lord's Day holy. You remember that? Every one of them, every one of the old timers, and those all of them old timers are dead. That's 30 years ago. They did. I mean, unless they lived to be 110, you know. And I'm telling you, they would all say, yes, yes. I remember when our church would not dare break the Lord's Day. We would not dare tell our people, go to shop on Sunday. We would not dare. And they all remembered that. See, that's when the church was on fire. That's when the church was real. It wasn't just a put on. It wasn't just a noise. It was real. Well, I got to go here. It's a joy to help you. Being a blessing to you is my absolute delight. I'm telling you that I'd rather be a blessing to you. I'm trying to find out what time it is, and I can't even see. Yeah, I see it now, I think. Well, I don't. Well, I'll be gone in a minute. If I'm gone, you know the time, Gabe. But I love you. Don't you miss coming tomorrow. I want you to hear me. And don't you miss camp meeting. And don't you miss sending a gift to help us stay on the radio. I love you, my dear friend. I mean, I love you with all my heart. Blessings to you. Blessings to you. Blessings to you. You are my friends.
Lifted me, and when nothing else could help, love lifted me. Yes, love lifted me. Love lifted me. And when nothing else could help, love lifted me. Yes, love lifted me. Oh, love lifted me. And when nothing else could help, love.